We got through Aleph and Beis before the simpler part of Simon Kuf Yud, and now we moved on to Gimel and Dalet. So we started discussing Sif Gimel of Teschanius Mochus Basa Shchuta. One sells Basa Nevela, and you don't know which one you bought from. So Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza Dabi. But if it's Nimsa B'Shuk, so then we apply the din of Kol the Parish Miruba Parish. And then the Shulchan Aruch added Zeh Din Torah Avucham Masrav Lishkol Shochtim Kala Mochrim Yisrael. The Ramah added that which we say called the Parash Miruba is Shalom Pirish Lefaneinu Avulim Pirish Lefaneinu. We saw it happen in front of us. O Sharoach Shalom Chavim Lacho Havikil Lachum Misham Biyado. Then it's as if you took it straight from there, and then it goes back to being Kol Kavua, even though it's actually Parish. Now, a couple of important yedios over here. There is a very critical shach that I keep on telling you about, but we haven't actually looked at yet, and that is the shach in Siv Katan Yud Dalid on Teisha Chanuyos. So it's you got to work through that shach. It's not a simple shach. Before we get to it, one more point, and then we'll go into the shach derech a maisa shahaya, and we'll see how understanding of that shach helped one of the great poskim of this past generation deal with a particular maisa shahaya. Meaning, lest you think Kuf Yud is all up in the air and it's not halach l'maisa, the one thing we've been trying to stress is that it is halach l'maisa, whether it's with Quicken Loans, whether it's with the Neid Behudas Krepelach, and with this other maisa shahaya. We'll see how this plays out in halacha. But one more idea. There is a Tosos in Gittin on Daf Samach Dalid, where Tosos said that when they made an Egla Rufa, they went to a Nachal Eisan, and therefore you never let a plant there. Once it becomes Nachal Eisan, they did an Egla Rufa there, so you're not allowed to plant where they did the Egla Rufa, right? They find a dead body between two cities. They don't know which where the guy came from, so they measure from the closest, they measure which city is closest. Based on that city comes, it's a whole parak in the Sacha Sota, right? So, you know about Egla Rufa. So once they do the Egla Rufa procedure there, they're not allowed to plant in the Egla Rufa. So Tulsa says, well, wait a second. Any valley in Israel should be asked to plant in. How do I know if they ever did an Egla Rufa there? You're going to tell me how often is Egla Rufa probably done? How often do you find a murder victim between cities in Israel? Jews are not big murderers, you know, to begin with. Like, what are the chances they're going to find an Egla Rufa in such a place? So what is it, 1 in 1,000 valleys are actually, I don't care if it's 1 in 1,000, Kol Kavua, Kemechza Mechza Dami. It's Kavua, and every valley should be, therefore, a 50-50 chance, halachically, that it's a Nachal Eisan, and therefore you shouldn't be able to do Egla Rufa if you apply Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza Dami. So Tosa says what emerges from this is the Yesod, that it needs to be Nikar B'Makoma. And since nobody knows where the Nachal Eisan is, we go back to following Rov. When they knew, there was no suffix. Once they didn't know, then nobody knew, because there were no Jews in Israel between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and again after Bayis Sheni, there were very few Jews in Israel where they weren't able to identify, and then nobody was able to identify. So you have to have a case where at some point somebody knew, but you didn't know, and only then are you going to be able to say the din of Kol Kavua, because if it was never Nikar B'Makomo, at a Shas Safek, meaning it was either a time where everybody knew, or it was a time where nobody knew, so it's not Nikar B'Makomo, then that's not going to be Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza Dami. Meaning every kasha is a mafteach to a yesod, right? Meaning that's the way Rishonim learned. When they ask a kasha that seems off, I mean, was it Shaykh that Tosos was going to answer, Ein Achinami, you're just not allowed to plant in any valley in Eretz Yisrael? No, of course not. The kasha is a mafteach to yesod. As Rav Sacks always likes to say, if you have 4 kashas on the sugya, you have 4 rayas that you don't yet understand the sugya, right? Meaning every kasha is going to turn into a raya to some sort of yesod. So that's the yesod of Nikar B'Makomo. So now, here's the Maisa Shahaya. In 2013, 11 years ago, mamish almost to the day, on the day before Erev Pesach, right? A week from now it will be to the day, right? On the day before Erev Pesach, there was a major meat supplier in Los Angeles, that was caught selling trefa meat. What they did was they would bring meat and poultry into the store, and when they knew the mashkiach wasn't around, and they snuck in all this trefa meat and all this trefa poultry, and they were selling it. Somebody in L.A. somehow had a, not somehow, it's not so, such a Pella, you could figure out how pretty quickly actually, had a Sheikhus with Rav Belsky, and who in L.A. would have a Sheikhus with Rav Belsky? Anyway, so, you don't know? Who's Rebelsky's son-in-law? Rechnitz, right? So Rechnitz in L.A. So someone in L.A., an influential person in L.A. had a shaychus with Rebelsky, and the shaila came to Rebelsky. Everyone bought meat for Pesach, everyone's ready for Pesach, and they caught 2013, the day before Erev Pesach. The meat is cooked, the meat is frozen, everyone's got stuff, and they find that the fellow was selling treifas. And Rebelsky came out with a psak that was, in the eyes of the Hamon Am, Muzar Ma'od. It was a very, very strange psak. People had no havana of what this psak was based on, and it's based on Shach Sivkat Nidal. The psak was that whatever was purchased before 3 p.m. Or 2:30 p.m. is mutter, and whatever was purchased after 2:30 or 3 p.m. is aser. It seems strange, but it's kemad mafurish shach. A lot of people were confused, puzzled, who cares when I bought it, whether I bought it before, after. We know which store it came from. The store didn't correct the problem before this time, after this time. So why would it matter if I bought it before 2:30 or 3, after 2:30 or 3? Like, what's the, my high? What's the issue over here? So the Shach and Sivkat Niyadal, we could work through this again. I get confused every time I do it, but let's see if we can try to figure it out. The Shach and Sivkat Niyadal brings three cases and three Rishonim that deal with the three cases. There's the case of the Ra'ah, the case of the Rashba, and the case of the Ran. They're not mutually exclusive completely, meaning the Ra'ah and the Rashba are just dealing with different cases. They don't necessarily argue on each other. They just draw out different yesodos from the cases that they deal with. The Ran seems to argue on the Ra'ah and the Rashba. The Ran seems to have his own Shito, which is his own Chiddush, that seems to be against the other Rishonim. Right? What does it say? Mechaber in Sif Gimel says, the regular case of Kavua. You go into a store, you buy meat, you don't know which store you went into, so that's a Safik B'Chanuyos, I don't know which store I went to. Kol Kavua K'mechzal Mechzadami, the Chanuyos are all Kavua, meaning my Safik is about the store doesn't move, the store is not one of those carts, a push cart in the Lower East Side or something, right? The store is it's a regular store that's in its brick and mortar location, that's in its place, so it is called Kavua Kamechsal Mechsadami, because that's where my suffix is. Fine. I find meat in the street, very simple, called the parish, Miruba parish, that's the din in Shulchan Aruch. So says the Shach, there is a Ra'ah in Bedek Habayis that Huadin, says the Ra'ah, that you have 10 kosher stores. You see, and the case in the Shulchan Aruch is I have 9 kosher stores and 1 non-kosher store, right? And one store, meaning I have the 89 stores in the 5 towns that are selling kosher meat, and I have the one store that's Yodua to not be selling kosher meat. You could, whatever you want to call that store, Costco or something else. I have one store that's Yodua that's not selling kosher meat. But that's not the case. That's not the case of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says, what if I have 10 stores that are all presumed to be selling kosher meat? We work with the assumption that they're selling kosher meat. They're all muchzak to be kosher. And I bought from one of them, but I don't remember which one I bought from. So I bought a piece of chicken or a piece of meat from one of these stores. I don't remember which one, because it doesn't really matter. They're all kosher anyway. They're all presumed to be kosher. And then, achar kach nisbarer lanu, she'echad michenu yoselu basar nevela, that one of these stores was selling basar nevela. Didn't know that at the time of purchase, only found out about that afterwards. So you would think, okay, if I only found that afterwards, the Ra'ah writes, it's aser, because that's not called the parish. I would have thought called the parish, meruba parish. He says, because the question is not on the meat itself. My shayla is not about the meat. My shayla is about which store I bought it from. Once I know which store I bought it from, I'll know that the meat is treif. right? So it's when I find a piece of meat and I don't know where the meat came from, so that's, you know, I find a piece of meat on the street, that's called the parish merubah parish. But when I know where the problem originates, and I only found out where the problem originates now, so my shaila is really about the store, and therefore it's called kavua kemechzal mechzami, meaning nothing new happened when I realized that one of the stores is treif, because I thought they were all mutter, but igloy milsa l'mafreya, that they're not all mutter. So the Ra'ah is saying that just like if I go shopping and nine say kosher and one says treif, and then I don't know where I bought it, so we say kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, because nine say kosher, one says treif, and I bought it from one of them. So the same is true if all 10 had kosher signs, and the next day I find out that one was really treif. So it's really treif the whole time. So it's also kavua, because it was treif the whole time. So and the problem was when I bought it. So the Chavos Da says that this ra is a klal gadol, that the dinam of kavua upirish is not only about meat, but it's about stores. Taruvas chanuyos have a kavua d'oraisa is the lashon of the Chavos Da. So when you have taruvas and chanuyos, when they have stores that I'm not sure which store is what, so that's considered kavua mida'oraisa. It's not only about the meat, it's about the stores. That is klal number one. That is the ra'ah. So again, the ra'ah deals with the case, not the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where I bought meat and I just don't remember where I bought the meat from, but it was already yadua lanu that which store was treif, even if it was not yet yadua lanu which store was treif, and it only became yadua lanu later which store was treif, we're still going to say kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. Case number two, the Rashba in Mishmeres Habayis doesn't argue on the Ra'ah, but he offers a qualification. Again, the Shach learns that the Rashba is not arguing on the Ra'ah. The Shach writes, the Af HaRashba b'Mishmeres Habayis moda lo bazeh. The Rashba's moda to the Ra'ah in this case. Ela shemechalik shomu bir dvarav. But he explains, Shabbatoris Habayis she'etikam ha'mechar b'sifei didavka kishenolat safik trefa b'makulin. Kugon shenis ariv trefa bena ksheros bechatichori leskabein afilu vade trefa velo noda ela ad achar shalakach. That it's talking about a case where the trefa was mixed in among the ksheros, even a vade trefa, and you only found out about it after you bought it. V'yesh safek im haisa vade trefa b'makulin zu shalakach. And I'm not sure if this trefa was in this market that I bought from. But if I know which store I bought from, nimtza ena safik mitzad breiras hachanuyos. Meaning, let's say I know the store was selling kosher and non-kosher meat, and I know exactly which store I bought from, so then my suffix is not about the chanuyos. I just don't know which piece of meat I pulled off the shelf. You know, in Costco, they have kosher meat also. So I know I went to Costco. I just don't know if I pulled the treifa meat off the shelf or the kosher meat off the shelf. So since you purchased, you made the purchase before the treifa was ever discovered, lo azlin and basar hay shaita el basar hashta. So we don't look at it at that moment. We look at it right now. Davi piresh mimela vishari. That's considered piresh and shari. Meaning, in the case of the Rashba, I know exactly where I bought it, but it's still a suffix because we found out that one of the kosher butcher stores had not only kosher meat but also non-kosher meat. Meaning, it's a less neat case than the case of the Shulchan Aruch and then the case of the Ra'ah. Both in the case of the Shulchan Aruch and the case of the Ra'ah, the treifa store is a treifa store. Sof pasuk, the whole all it sells is treifa meat. Comes along the Rashba and he says, well, you could have a case where the treifa store is not selling only treifa meat, it's also selling kosher meat. Then we go basar hashta and we view it as parish and we say called the parish merubah parish. So let's say you have a shochet shechted a bunch of animals and he's distributed the meat to stores and the next day he finds a treifa lung. He already sent all the meat to all the different stores in the neighborhood, right, from the shachtais to all the different stores in the neighborhood, and then he's messing around in the shachtais the next day, just looking around at the lungs. I never really checked the lungs yesterday. I assumed they were all kosher. And he finds a treifa lung. Uh-oh. He doesn't know which store he sent the treifa animal to, right? He doesn't know where he sent the chatichos of basar from the treifa animal to. So you would think it's the same as the case of the ra'ah. But the Rashba says, no, it's not the same. In the case of the ra'ah, I know which store is treifa, I just don't know where I went shopping. In the case of the Rashba, I don't know which store has the treifa meat. Statistically, they're identical cases, but the halacha is different. Meaning, whenever you look at statistics, you're not going to get the same. Meaning, you're not going to get the correct halacha because, as we said, kol kavod kamechsa nachzadami is not a statistical reality. It's not something that's based on svar. It's based on a gzeres hakasuf. So the Rashba is going to be the basis of that 3 p.m. idea that we're done on the time that you find it. Meaning the Ra'ah is saying Chumra, that if you don't know which store, that's called Kavua. The Rashba is saying Akula, that if you know which store but didn't know it wasn't kosher, then it's Parush, but that there's a distinction between what's still in the store, which is Aser, because now I know that that's Aser, and what's already bought from the store, which is Mutter. Meaning the Rashba is essentially teaching us this this Chilik that Rav Belsky made. Right, that which I already bought from the store before I knew before I knew it to have treifas in it, that's going to be a problem. But that because that's going to be called kavua. That which I bought afterwards is not going to be a problem. It's not going to be considered kavua. Then the shach, and then we'll come back and try to summarize all this. The shach then quotes a ram that says aval ran kasu perikid anasha akavua detes chanuyos. The ran is a new rule. He quotes a tosos, that something is only kavua when the isser was known before you went shopping. Avlim lo noda isser b'sha shalakach. If you didn't know the isser at the time that you went shopping, then afal pi sha'achar shalakach nizgale isser v'nasa kavua. Even though after you went shopping, the isser became revealed and then it became kavua, so it became nizgale after you went shopping, it became kavua. We don't view it as kavua l'mafreya. We don't view that as something that's kavua l'mafreya. Any case where you found out later, we don't say kol kavua k'mechsal mechzadam. We say kol the parish muru v'parish. We don't say kavua l'mafreya. Nafkamina is l'mish alakach basar from a store thinking that it was kosher. Person buys meat. He thought the store was kosher. Then he found out that there was a treifa there. So it's mutter because at the time you bought it, it wasn't kavua. And kol kavua k'mechsal mechzadam is a chiddush that we say in the chabo el mishas kiddush of elach. That we only apply kol kavua k'mechsal mechza from the moment of the shas kiddusho, which is the moment you find out about it. But prior to, if you had purchased it prior to having found out about it, then you don't have to worry about it. So the Ran says that's shitas hatosos, and the Shach says that the Torah also holds like the Ran. So the Rashba and the Ra'ah disagree, and they do sometimes say kavua l'mafreya. To what extent? They're not in disagreement with each other, but the Rashba builds on the Ra'ah. To what extent we're going to say kavua l'mafreya? So they say if you don't remember which store you shopped at, but one store was known to be treif the entire time, so then for sure we say kavua l'mafreya. But the Ran holds that we never say kavua l'mafreya. The concept of Eilu Chabal Mishas Kiddusho is a sugya in Sanhedrin, right, by Edim Zomman. That Edim Zomman, Mikan Ulaba, Hey Nifsal, that's the Shita of Rava, right? So Machlokas, Edim Zomman, Mafreya Nifsal, or Mikan Ulaba Nifsal, because they have the following Shaila. To Edim testify that Reuven killed Shimon. And then on January 1st, they testify. Come to Bezin on January 1st, they testify Reuven killed Shimon. Then January 15th, other Edim come in and mazim them and say, I'm sorry, January 15th, those same two Edim are your Edei Kiddushin at your wedding. Wonderful people, you know them to be a big tzaddikim, they're your Edei Kiddushin at your wedding. So Mazel Tov, you're married, and now you have these two Edei Kiddushin. February 1st, other Edim come in Ramazan, the Edim that testified on January 1st, they said, no, Imanu Yisem, you can't possibly know that Reuven killed Shimon, because Imanu Yisem. Are you married or are you not married? Right? Meaning, do we assume that they're Pasul and Mafreya from the time that of their Haggadah Edus, which was a lie? Or do we say, no, they're only Pasul, Mikanu Lahabba, from the moment that the Edim came and that the Edim Zomim came and were Mazim then? Right? That's the Sugi of Edim Zomim Mafreya, and if so, Edim Zomim Mikanu Lahabba, and if so, it's one of the Al-Kigam, right? That's the Machlokas, Abaye and Rava. Hamsbir of Shachter connected that, right? That's Sugi of Mafreya, and if so, Mikanu Lahabba, and if so, to Bittul Mishas Yedias HaTarovas. Right, and the idea that you can't have a bittul before yediyas hatarovas. The bittul only happens mishas yediyas hatarovas. And in fact, in his hakdama to Ginas Egos, if you look in Ginas Egos, toward the very end of his hakdama, he says, you know, I you may be wondering why it is that I'm allowed to publish a sefer, because after all, a lot of mechabrim write this, because, who do I think I am to publish, Moshe has in the hakdama Tikrus Moshe, who do I think I am to publish tshuvas, why would anyone listen to me, especially sometimes I argue with the Chasam Sofer, sometimes I argue with the Yehuda, why would anyone listen to Moshe Feinstein over the Chassam Sofer and the Devisa, so he has his own justification. So Rav Shachter quotes the Ketzos in Hakdama that we received in our Sinai, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asad Nishadesh. Anything that Talmud Vasik is going to be Mechadesh. So Rav Shachter points out, the Ketzos writes, Talmud Vasik means, doesn't just mean any idiot is going to be Mechadesh. It means anything that a Talmud Vasik means someone who really understands the ways of Torah, someone who finds that he's regularly Mechavin to Rishonim, that he's all the time being Mechavin to Yisodos, that come from real, genuine, great Talmidei Chachamim. And if such a person says a Chiddush, so Shafta says, who am I to say that I'm a Talmud Vasik, that I'm going to publish Chidushim? So he gives a few examples of where he thought of something, and it turned out that other people had said it prior to him. So one of the examples is that sushtel between Eid Zomim Mikadal Abba and Mafreyon himself, the idea with the idea Satarovis, the bittel with the idea Satarovis. I mean, then he goes on to say that even if there is, it's a funny thing, he said that He once gave a shiur in Shalavim, and he told the story with Rav Yisrael Charif and Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim bought a sefer and Tshuvas Divrei Emes, I think it was called, and there was one shtickle in the whole sefer that came in handy for Reb Chaim, and he said that if I only bought this sefer for this one shtickle Torah, the whole sefer is worth it, which was his way of saying he didn't think the rest of the sefer was worth it, but if I only bought this one sefer, this one shtickle Torah, it's worth it. And Rav Shachter writes, so Rav Avidan came over to him afterwards, and Rav Avidan told him, if I only would have heard that whole shiur just for that one story, the whole shiur is worth it. So he said, so you see from what Reb Chaim said and from what Rav Avidan told me, that even if the whole sefer has only one shtickel Torah, that's worth it. So it's worth the whole sefer, just for if there's anything that's emes in here, just one shtickel Torah. So anyway, it's a funny, it's an interesting hakdama. So he uses that Eid Zom Mikana Abel Mafreyu Nifsal as one of his examples. So you have a similar concept over here, that Ein L'Chabo El Mishas Chidusho, that starts in that sugya of Ein L'Chabo El Mishas Chidusho. That the sheet of Rava is there, that Eid Zom is Chiddushu. Smochani. Why would you rely on the first set of Eidim more than the second set of Eidim? L'chora should be Eid Zom Chasha. So why would you trust the second set of Eidim and then be Mazim the first set of Eidim? Elamai, it's a Chiddush. Say L'chaba El Mishas Chiddusha. So you have a similar thing over here. So that run is not something we necessarily paskin like. But Chachmas Adam quotes it as Yesh Omrim, and the Poskim sometimes use it as a Tziruf. So if you pass them like the Ran, then the case in L.A., in Los Angeles from 2013 is pretty easy, because Kavua only starts from 3 p.m. So we only use the Ran as a sniff. It's a clear and easy Shita that you just never say Kavua Limafreya. So, meaning essentially, what you need over here is that in order for that meat to be kosher, for whatever meat was purchased from that market to be kosher, you can't apply kavua, right? Meaning once you apply kavua, then you run into trouble. But the thing is, you can't apply kavua midoraisa, nor even midorabanan, right? Kavua can't even work on a derabanan level. Let me just wrap it up, and then kavua can't even work on a derabanan level. So kol deparish is a heter, kavua is an iser. So there's a kavua doraisa that we've been discussing. And then there's an issue of bittul barov, that a davar chashuv is never batal, and that's called kavua midrabanan, which comes up in Se'ifim Dalet and Hey, where you have kavua midrabanan, right? You have rov chanuyos mochos basar shchuta, umi mochos nevel lakach naksven, ven yodea meyaz mehen lakach, ven arva ba'acheros. And then there's a taroves, ve'ino nikeres, v'telu mirov, v'rov mishum svek sveka, but the Rama writes, v'yesh osrim b'chi agavnum, mishum tkomogim disru b'mukomo, havik mechzal mechza, etc. So you have this introduction of this concept of kavua midrabanan. So Belsky had a heter of a tziruf of the Rashba and the Ran. Right? The Ran, again, straightforward, that you're not going to say kavua l'mafreya, so whatever was purchased before you knew anything is not going to be a problem. Meaning before you were able to identify any of these stores as not kosher, because they were all technically kosher. So whatever you bought before there was any havamina that any store was not kosher is not going to be a problem. That's going to be kavua l'mafreya. The Rashba said that we do say kavua l'mafreya unless the safek is which store you bought it in. If you know which store you bought it in, then we're not going to say Kavul Mefreya. So in the Los Angeles case, you're not really in doubt where you bought it. So therefore, we should say called the Parish Meruba Parish. The only case that the Rashba and the Rana argue about is if you have a suffix about which store you bought it from. That's where the Rashba is going to say that it's Kavua. If I'm not sure which, my suffix is in the store, so the stores are Kavua, and we're going to say Kavua Lamafreya. And the Rana is going to say that you can't apply Kavua Lamafreya, and therefore it's called the Parish Meruba Parish. But if I know which store I bought it in, I'm good according to the Rashba. I'm for sure good according to the Rana. And that's why anything that was bought before I knew anything, I can rely on Kol D'Parish Merubah Parish. Once we knew, anything that was bought after that time, you're going to have to say Kol Kavua. That's the I saw a write up of this scandal. Rav Spitz from Or Sameach wrote up a halachic explanation of this scandal, and he writes. Many were puzzled by the ruling that was publicized in the aftermath of the scandal by the Rabbanim of the Certifying Kashrus Agency after consulting with Rav Yisrael Belsky, Shlita Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vedas, and Posik for the OU. The Rabbanim ruled that all meat that was bought in the store before 3 p.m. on that day, Erev Pesach, was considered kosher. However, any meats purchased after that time would be considered non-kosher. This fascinating psak was the subject of much discussion and was even featured in a question-and-answer article in a major Jewish publication. Like, that's a kunst? I don't know. Okay. The much-discussed question was where the magical number 3 o'clock came from. Furthermore, if the basis of the heter permitting the meat purchased before that time was due to a rove, a simple majority rule, as the owner was caught bringing in 8 boxes of unsupervised meat and poultry, while at the same time many other pallets of supervised meat, about 300 boxes of kosher meat was brought in, then shouldn't all the meat be permitted? Why the need for a cutoff time? So he says, although this author does not work nor speak for the conversations involved or any conversation, I decided to shed some light on the complicated nuances, says Rav Spitz. In the words of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, when faced with a similar crisis, wrote, everything is clearly explained in the Torah and the Beis Yosef and Achronim, and everyone agrees to the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch. There's nothing to question. The same rule applies over here. So here's what he writes. He first describes the din of Kol D'Parish, Meruba Parish, and then, I'm going to skip the parts that are obvious to us. In this instance, the mere fact that the majority of the meat was kosher cannot be grounds to permit the meat already purchased. Although there are authorities who maintain that in a case of extenuating circumstances of great loss, one may rely on the Shulchan Aruch's opinion that the rule of Chatichori L'Skavit only applies to cooked, ready-to-eat cuts of meat. On the other hand, many other decisors disagree entirely and only allow the use of this rationale as an additional factor to permit leniency. Meaning rove is insufficient grounds to allow for kula, because according to the Ramah, which Ashkenazim follow, large raw pieces of meat are in the category of a Chatichori L'Skavit, so therefore it's not subject to bittul. That's as far as bittul. Additionally, the flip side of the rule of Pirush is that kol kavua kemechsal mechzadami. As long as the question was born in a place of permanence, majority rule is no longer in effect. The Gemara's example of this is that of Teisha Chanuyos, right? Which is the classic. In such a scenario, if one purchased the item from a store but's unsure which one, it's a 50-50 and you have to be machmir. Yet, there are subtle nuances in the halachas of kavua which still allow grounds for leniency. There are two main types of kavua. Here it is. Kavua d'oraisa and kavua d'rabbanan. Kavua d'oraisa is when there is an official 100% dedicated non-kosher store operating in the area. Think McDonald's. Kavua d'rabbanan is when some non-kosher meat gets mixed up in an otherwise kosher store, creating a taruvas chatichos, a meat mix-up, which is every meat scandal you ever heard of. That's the Muncie scandal, that's the Los Angeles scandal, that's the Chicago scandal, right? Every scandal that ever happened, is that there was also kosher meat. No one ever gets away with selling only trefa meat, right? So although there are several differences, one of the hallmark distinctions between the two is whether the rule of kavua l'mafreya applies. Kavua l'mafreya refers to retroactive application of the majority nullifying rule of kavua. In plain English, this means that when kavua applies, and therefore prohibiting the meat, meat that has been purchased previously might also be affected. By a kavua d'oraisa, the rule is kavua l'mafreya also applies. However, right, so kavua d'oraisa is if the store was only selling non-kosher meat, so then I would even say kavua l'mafreya and I would have a problem. However, in a situation, because I don't rely on the Ran, that we don't say kavua l'mafreya. In a situation of kavua d'rabanan, kavua l'mafreya does not apply. This means that only from the time of the actual shayla will further purchase of meat at the same store be forbidden. That's where 3 o'clock comes into the picture. The Rabbanim only found out about their surveillance videotapes earlier that same afternoon. They watched them then until about 2:30, and by 3 o'clock they decided to remove the Ashkacha based on the evidence. Meaning, they had evidence that non-kosher meat was brought in way earlier, but they only discovered that evidence, not when they caught it being brought in, because they were watching videotapes, they were watching surveillance cameras, and by the time they're watching it all day, and they're like, nah, it can't be, the store that sells all the kosher meat is not kosher. You're not going to just pull Ashkacha and Erev Pesach like that until you have good evidence, you know, even though it's probably just a disgruntled employee claiming these things. So they're watching the videos, and they're like, uh-oh, right, after hours of watching the videos, so they discovered at 2:30 or 3, at 2:30 they saw the evidence. By 3 o'clock the Ashkacha was pulled. So since the actual Shaila was only made known at that point, even though again it came up earlier, it's only then that the rule of Kavua took effect. So since the store was up until that point known as a kosher store, that's a Kavua d'Rabbanan, and it's not going to affect any meat or poultry previously purchased. As noted by the great Yavitz, this psak is the halacha as codified by the Torah and Shulchan Aruch with no dissenting opinions. That's why all meat that was bought before the time was considered 100% kosher. This also explains why the new owners kashered the store afterwards, as all meats remaining in the store after 3 o'clock were deemed non-kosher. Meaning everything that was still in the store after 3 o'clock, even though 90% of it was kosher meat, but you couldn't identify what was kosher meat, and it's all kavua, and it's all therefore kemechza al mechza dami. That is the explanation. He then writes. There are other reasons you could have been makil. Several other avenues of leniency that seem to be available in this case. For example, no one actually saw what was inside the unsupervised boxes that the proprietor snuck in, and he was recorded taking them from a different store that sold non-glot meat and non-muhudur poultry. That creates somewhat of a suffix as to the meat status. Might possibly be considered not vadayisir. So where there's even a slight chance of a non-vadayisir, so then what do you have? Then the dinim of kavua, according to the Yavitz, Crazy Placey, Chachmas Adim, Aruch HaShulchan, are not going to apply. And also, more obviously, what do you have? If it might just be from non-glot, so what do you have? It's a svek sveka. That even the meat that he sold, the non-kosher meat, might actually be kosher. So svek sveka might be enough to be makil in this case, especially b'makom efsim meruba, which this was for an entire community 18 hours before Pesach. So the Rabbanim sent out a letter that everyone should just go ahead and enjoy their meat. So again, so what do we have over here? We have three shitas. We had the Ra'ah, the Rashba, and the Ran. Right. So we had the Ran is the most straightforward because the Ran says you just never say kavul the mafreya. So it's no problem. Whatever I bought is going to be totally okay because I'm just never going to apply kavul the mafreya. The Ra'ah and the Rashba do say kavul the mafreya, but the Rashba limits kavul the mafreya. And if you have a store, what was it? How does it go? That it goes to Mafreya, unless the suffix is which store you bought it in. But if I know, I know exactly where I bought it, so that becomes called the parish. Because I'm not gonna say Kavua le Mafreya when I know which store I bought it in. So if you have a suffix which store you bought it in, that's where the Rashi was going to say Kavua le Mafreya. The Ran won't say Kavua le Mafreya. If I know which store I bought it in, the Rashba is also not going to say Kavol l'mafreya. He'll also say Kal de Parish Meruba Parish. That's the summary of the Los Angeles meat shayla. Questions?
Are we very confident that those people are going to be kosher?
Yeah, they said that 8 boxes came in, and you know, they looked at the surveillance cameras, so they saw where most of the boxes came from, and they saw only 8 boxes of non-kosher came in. Now, he probably went back way before that, you know, for the probably wasn't the first time he did that, but they saw, based on as far as they went back in the surveillance videos, that most of what was coming in was okay. There's one more point that has to be highlighted over here, and that is the Chavos Das. Chavos Das points out a problem. Kavua is when something is nikar b'makoma, right? That's how we started. That was the Yisod of Tosfos and Gittin. Kavua is only when something is nikar b'makoma, which means that the place in which the place where it is recognizable. So the Gemara says, now what's the case? Gemara has a case of a woman is mezana, and we don't know if the man that she was mezana with was Jewish or not. So what would you think? You'd think, go basarov, right? Well, says the Gemara, it depends. She was in secular college and she was mezana, let's say, right? Because that's what people do in secular college. So she doesn't know who the guy was. Is the guy Jewish or is the guy not Jewish, right? So the Gemara says it depends on whether it was in her dorm room or his dorm room. Why would it matter if it's her dorm room or his dorm room? Who cares which roommate was away that day? That's why would it matter? Right, and you want to know if it's Kavua or Parish. I mean, most of the people in the secular college are non-Jews. So if he was Parish Mimakomo, so it's called the Parish Merubba Parish. But if it was in his makom, if it was in his dorm room, so then it's called Kavua Kamechzal Mechzadami, and then you're going to have to be Machmir. So it's Rov Gayim. If the man came to the woman, it's called the Parish Merubba Parish. If she went to him, it's called Kavua. Today, it's possible many people are not even Nikar B'Makomo, because it's always so. It's not always so easy to identify a person as being Jewish, right? Meaning, you would need Nikar B'Makomo that, okay, if I, if I spoke to him for 2 minutes, I'd be able to tell that he's Jewish. There are a lot of people with very, very Jewish names that are not Jewish, because their father's Jewish and the mother's not. There are people, I remember we once did a Geirus. We were about to do a Geirus, I had major hesitations about the Geirus. This guy, a black guy from Central America somewhere, and he was so flaky. He was just like, why do you want to become Jewish? He said, because I had a dream. It was like weird. The whole thing was so strange. He was doing like weird stuff. He was like hanging up signs on his lawn, I want to be Jewish, or like Judaism is true. Like just like weird. Not like typical things. I'm like, we're not going to like actually be Maguire in this guy. And he's like, no, you have to, because my mother was Jewish. No, he said, my grandmother was Jewish. He's like, what do you mean? Which grandmother? My mother's mother. Like, you're a black guy from Central America. What are the chances? He said, yeah, my grandmother escaped from Poland in World War II. And she escaped to Central America, and she married my grandfather. And she's even buried in the Jewish cemetery in wherever in Central America he was. So we're like, okay, bring us proof. And he was able to, he's Jewish. He was 100% glad Jewish. Like, there's no, I wouldn't have been Maguire him, but, that's often the case. We don't necessarily, we wouldn't have been Maguire a lot of people that we have, it's not so clear it's always Nikar B'Makom, but the Chavos Das has a rule that emerges from the Shach that Taruvus Chanuyos is called Kavua Doraisa. And then he asks the Chora Temua, Kimu de Israel in Nikar B'Makomo. Meaning, in the Rashba story, you had 10 cases that we thought were all selling kosher. But now we know that one of them was selling treif. We just don't know which one was selling treif. So if it were still there in the store, it would be us, because called Kavua, Kamechzal Mechzadami. So in a case where 10 stores get their meat from one supplier, let's say all 10 stores get their meat from one supplier, and the shochet later found treifus in one lung, right, the case we mentioned before, then all the stores are going to be usher, and only what you bought already is mutter. Whatever's in the stores is going to be usher. Chavos Das says that dvar of him koshi havana, that he doesn't understand why that should be so. It's einu nikar b'makomo, because it's not known in its place of origin. Even when it's in the store, it should be mutter. Meaning the whole inyan of kavua shouldn't be relevant when it's not nikar b'makomo. If a guy in the shachta sent out the meats to all these different stores, and he found the treif along wherever he is, so in none of, even after I found out about the problem, it's not nikar b'makomo in any of the stores. So what difference does it make if I took it to my house already or if it was in one of the stores? So the Chavos Das says the Chiddush as follows, that in his opinion, the case should be a different case. That 10 stores all owned by people who have no nemans. And you know that 9 are kosher and 1 is not. You know the Rav HaMachshir, let's say, on 9 of the stores. So all the people are claiming their food is kosher. 9 of them have a good Rav HaMachshir who's checking it out. And later, you don't remember which stores are the reliable ones and which one is not. So that's called the Tarovas HaChanuyos. So assuming that you can't check anymore which one is reliable, the Rav HaMachshir that you knew dropped dead, so there's no way to be able to check anymore, but you know which store you bought it in, you just don't remember which is the good store and which isn't, right? That's the case of... in that case, the Rashba's rule is going to apply, that whatever is in the store is kavua, and whatever came out of the store is parosh. But if 9 were treif, it wouldn't matter, because you'd follow rov. But when 9 are kosher, obviously, so then you have the Rashba, that whatever you took out before had a suffix is called the parosh, whatever is still in the store is called kavua kamechza mechza. That's a case of taruv sechanius, and that's the case that the Chavzda says that he would have given the psak of the Rashba. He's not saying that's pshat in the Rashba, he's saying that's where the Rashba makes sense. That's different than the Ra'az case, right? The Ra'az case was all 10 were reliable at the time that you bought, and only later was Nisgala that one of them was a problem. The case of the Chavzdas is that, no, you knew the whole time one of them wasn't reliable, and you just don't know which store you bought it from, and now you have no way of checking which one wasn't reliable. So he brings a raya from a case where a shliach goes to be Mekadish Nisha, and then the shliach dies. So the halach is you can't marry anybody. Right, because you sent shliach to be mekadesh nisha. Any woman that you try to marry might be that woman's sister, right? So you can't marry anybody because you don't know who the shliach is mekadesh. Why not say called the parish? So the answer must be, says the Chavos Das, that since it was known at the time, but now we don't know. The Ramban and the Rashba say it has the status of kavua, and that's how the Chavos Das passes that in the store it's kavua. Even though you might think it's not Nikar B'Makomo, because you knew that one store was not reliable, that's considered to be Nikar B'Makomo. Rabbi Reisman thought that this said that Rav David Feinstein told him that this has an application to the Quicken Loans Shaila. Rav David had pointed out that Quicken, like we said, it sells the mortgages to other financial institutions. So in the Heter Iska, they're shluchim to arrange the loan with another bank, right? So since they're my shliach to get the loan, so you have to know, we deal with the lender who's not Jewish usually. So Rav David said, well, I can't know that the new bank isn't Jewish. Maybe it's called Kavua, because it's Tarovas Achanuyos. All the banks are mixed together, so it's Tarovas Achanuyos. So there are definitely Jewish companies that buy mortgages, right? I mean, that's obviously the case. So it might be Taruv Sachanios. So the Rove obviously is not Jewish because we live in America. Most of them are also major banks like Chase and whatever. So if David said that you can rely on Kol de Parish, why can you rely on Kol de Parish? So in general, Rav David's style of paskening was he didn't tell you why. Rav David, if you ever asked like Rav Eliyashiv something, it was like boom, boom, boom. You know, as you could see it, Reb Chaim also, as people are asking him questions, you could just see him walking in some of these videos, and people are firing questions, mutter, asr, one word, without like, Rav David wasn't like that. Rav David would take a little bit of time to think, and then he would just say, mutter. Like, he wouldn't like ask for clarification, he wouldn't like talk it through with you, he would just say, he would just say, it is, right? That's what it is. So, when it came to Quicken Loans, when Rav David said mutter, Rav Reisman's like, okay, great, thanks, like right out, because he didn't want to push his luck. But he suggested that maybe this was what was behind it. The Chavos Das, and really Rav Moshe writes the same thing, also Nikar B'Makomo is only if it's possible to be Mevara. Quicken doesn't tell you that they sold it, nor do they tell you who they sold it to. So you'll keep getting bills from Quicken because they service loans even if it's already been sold. So if it's not possible to be mevarer, so again, kol kavua only applies when it's nikar b'makomo. Nikar b'makomo means that it's possible to be mevarer, that it's nikar b'makomo. So it could be that in the case of Quicken loans, since it's not possible to be mevarer, it's not called nikar b'makomo. It all goes back to that Tosfos and Gittin. Anything that's not nikar b'makomo is not called kavua. And mele it's called the parish, meruba parish. That's the application that they have. So again, Everyone was confused initially when they had this case of the Los Angeles store, because why would it be that if someone, why were people buying meat there after 3 o'clock anyway, once they already pulled the Ashkacha? Because not everyone heard that they pulled the Ashkacha. So people continued shopping there. But that's why Rav Belsky had to draw that seeming arbitrary line, but it wasn't arbitrary at all. It's that once it becomes 3 o'clock, so then it becomes Dikur B'Mekomel, then it becomes Kavua, and when it's, again, according to the Ran, it wouldn't be wrong, but then it becomes Kavua, and when it's Kavua, it's Kemechzal Mechzadami. But prior to 3 o'clock, we could still rely on Kol Deparish Meruba Parish. That was the story with Los Angeles. Okay, we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll do a little more. There's a lot more to do.